Resentment. The Webster Dictionary says resentment is a behavior based on do's and don'ts. We all have things that people did to us, and it is human nature, maybe, to want revenge because they hurt you. There are some people who didn't do what they should have done, and that hurt us. And we want revenge. How you respond when somebody hurts you is important. It's vital. And it's a major part of the teachings of Jesus Christ. How do you harbor resentment? Do you want to hurt somebody as much as they hurt you? Is this still fresh in your mind? You know, all kinds of things can happen to rekindle resentment. And it's not what those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus need to have. We need to understand that Christ calls us to a resent-free life. That's a major challenge. That's hard. And yet it's so important. You know, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you think about it, almost everything Jesus says there is to help us be free of resentment. Poor in spirit, meek, searching for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, turning the other cheek, loving our enemies, not judging. What are all those things? They're keys to us not being resentful. You know, there's an interesting story that Richard has taken us to on Wednesday night. And if you haven't been a part of that class, you're missing a lot. We may talk about that a little bit later on because it's so important to understand these Old Testament examples. But we just got through studying a thing that happened to David in 2 Samuel 16, starting with verse 5. You might even want to turn there. We'll have quite a few comments from this. 2 Samuel 16 and verse 5 is probably David's worst day. David's son Absalom has rebelled against him and has taken over the throne, even taken over David's concubines. David has to flee Jerusalem as Absalom moves in. But there's a member of Saul's house that comes after David. David's reputation, David's respect is shot. His friends have left him. And this guy named Shimei, and David and Richard maybe needs to correct me on pronouncing this wrong, but S-H-I-M-E-L, Shimei shows up. And this guy is cursing David. Listen to this description. I'm reading from 2 Samuel 16:5. When David came to Bahurim, there came a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came, he cursed continually and threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and the mighty man who were on David's right and on his left. And Shimei, as he cursed, said, "Get out, get out. You man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom to your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood." Can you imagine that? You're walking down a road and this guy is standing on a bluff over you and he is throwing rocks at you and throwing dust at you and shouting at you. And David has an opportunity for immediate revenge because the Bible says, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and take off his head." Verse 9. Oh, boy. Instant revenge. And David's response is, "No. The Lord has told him, has allowed him to do this. The Lord may repay me for his curse." So verses 13 and 14, David and his men go down the road. And Shimei was along on the hillside opposite him, cursing and throwing stones and flinging dust. And the king and all his people arrived wearily at Jordan. Let me tell you something, folks. There are going to be Shimeis in your life. Yeah. Because Satan is alive and well, there are going to be Shimeis in your life, no matter who you are, no matter how you live. I mean, a lot of what happened to David was a result of his sin, but there are lots of biblical cases where it was not the sin that caused the abuse. Our future study on Wednesday night in 2 Samuel 19, starting with verse 16, David gets another opportunity for revenge because everything eventually falls to David's favor. And Shimei comes for forgiveness. And again, Abishai says, kill him, get revenge. He cursed the Lord's anointed. So saying what was justified. But David says, "No, Shimei will not die." If you read 1 Kings 2 and verse 8, you can see that David still hurt. He still hurt. Resentment can eat you alive. Psychologists tell us that people who are mentally ill are frequently mentally ill because of resentment. There's almost always at least a player. So how do we handle resentment? I want you to listen to Matthew 5, starting with verse 43. "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. See, God could resent all of us when we sin. But we continue to enjoy God's blessings. If you love those who love you, what reward do you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. So how do I handle resentment? This is a hard lesson because our natural impulse is to get even. That's Satan at work. And we may even see it operational in the animal world around us. And evolutionists will tell us that resentment is part of our biology. But we're not just animals. Our soul gives us the capacity to do things animals cannot do. One of those is love. Listen to 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. You thinking about this? I mean, part of this battle is thinking, is reasoning, is getting our minds working the right way. It does not insist upon its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Oh, really? If I love, I have to get rid of those things. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. You ever gotten back at somebody and then felt bad about it? Or keep a record of wrongs? Ever have a problem with your wife or your husband? And if it got into a shouting match or if it got into a heart to heart discussion, what ended up happening? You go back and recite every transgression. I did that to Cindy one time. I even wrote them down. Oh my. But rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. How do I do that? How do I build that? Well, one way is to think about how much God has forgiven you. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 31, says, "Let all bitterness and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." See, David did one really good thing. He turned it over to God. Romans 12 and verse 19, Hebrews 10 and verse 30 finds God saying, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." This is not just a matter of feeling, it's a matter of obedience. As God has built into you an impulse delay, to allow prevention. You know, there's a lag between the time in which you get an impulse and when you act on that impulse. And the Holy Spirit allows you to do that. Do you believe God's Spirit has power? We just sang a song, and Carl and I had a tough time deciding which song to use where here. But we just sang a song that said, "There is." I'm looking at the songbook. There is power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? You can't do this on your own. But there's power in the blood. The blood of Christ gives you the capacity. The Holy Spirit gives you the capacity to let revenge not destroy your life, not eat you alive. Would you be free from your passion and pride? Oh, what a struggle. Yes, there's power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in this life-giving flow. You know, in Acts 5:7 and verse 59, they're stoning Stephen. The Bible says he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Now, there's a guy that has learned how to handle resentment. They're trying to kill him. And he's able, he has the strength. He has the fortitude that instead of retaliating, instead of calling curses upon them, instead of doing what we would logically do, he says, "Lord, don't hold this sin against him." And with this, the Bible says, he fell asleep. You know, there are so many Old Testament examples of situations in which the person would have really been able to justify revenge and resentment. And the reason they are in the scriptures as examples to us is because they didn't do it. Let me give you an example. In Genesis 45, beginning with verse 4, we see Joseph responding to his brothers. Now, remember the story. This is a group of siblings that had thrown him in a hole. And they were happy to kill him. But instead, they sold him as a slave. Boy, you talk about resenting something. When you think you've had problems with a brother or a sister, imagine how you'd feel if they sold you as a slave to someone else. And when they realize where they are, they're afraid. The normal thing for Joseph to do would have been to say, "Oh boy, am I going to get you guys now. Remember you put me in that hole. Remember you sold me to slavery. I'm going to have you beaten within an inch of your life." They knew that was a possibility. But Joseph had a relationship with God. And so as we read Genesis 45, starting with verse 4, the Bible says, "And so Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come near to me, please. I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve you. So it was not you that sent me here, but God.'" Now, God didn't cause the brothers to throw him in the hole. God did not sell his brothers to sell him into slavery. But what God did do was take advantage of a horrible situation and make good come out of it. You know, we're told in the New Testament that all things work out for good to them that love the Lord. And I've quoted Romans 8:28 a lot to you. There have been things that have happened in my life that I hate. Things that well up in me resentful. God, why did you do this to me? Pain, hurt, frustration. And God didn't cause these things. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, but God will take the worst shot that Satan can give to you, and he can make good come out of it. All things work to good. So the best way we can handle resentment is to be aware that there is power in the blood. To anticipate the situations in which we find ourselves. And to constantly be praying to God to help us avoid those circumstances in which we cause resentment. When you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you'll see everything Jesus says there helps us, if we will follow it, to avoid others resenting us. And we're going to close this thought process, this thinking, this teaching that God has given us, and avoid the pain that comes with resentment if we will think about, if I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, God, forgive me. See, that's what Jesus is talking about. That's how we as Christians have an advantage over those that are in the world. If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, if I have been perverse or hard or cold, forgive me. Forgive the sins I have confessed to you. Forgive the secret sins I do not even see. Guide me. Love me. And my keeper be. As we sing this closing song, let your mind focus on how you can allow God's Spirit to work in you, and how you can come closer to Jesus and to his teachings in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Make today a new beginning. Carl, let's sing number 320.